go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome to this episode of Deep Space High, a TV sci-fi podcast where we discuss today's popular science fiction shows. I'm Steven.
And I'm Chris.
Thank you for joining us today. Chris, how are you doing over there?
I'm doing all right. What about you? How are you doing?
Can't complain. Can't complain for a Saturday.
Yeah. You said you went and got a drink. What'd you get?
I'm drinking a Scotch and Coke.
Oh, not bad.
Yep, Johnny Walker Red with a Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I mean, I could go without the Coke, but that's just me personally. I'm not much of a Coke guy.
Yeah, you're lame.
Well, I mean, I am from Texas, so I drink Dr. Pepper.
I'm from Texas, too, but I don't care for Dr. Pepper too much.
Are you really a Texan if you don't drink Dr. Pepper?
Are you really a Texan when you haven't lived in the state for, like, 10 years?
Yeah, that's fair. But then again, you don't really drink Dr. Pepper, so what's the point of living in the state if you don't drink Dr. Pepper? I mean, it is the official drink of Texas.
Yeah, well, it doesn't have to be.
Yes, it does. It's that good.
You don't have to adhere to every stereotype in order to be a Texan.
Yeah, I guess so. I live in Nevada, so we don't really have anything.
No.
Nevada, everybody just comes from anywhere, and they just come here to Nevada. Nobody's actually from here.
Yeah. But hey, I saw some. I saw an article today where LeVar Burton is looking to make an appearance in season two of Picard.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm hoping we can get more of the TNG cast, like Beverly Crusher and Worf, into season two. It was kind of sad to miss them.
Well, I mean, they even talked about in the show how they specifically did not want to bring them in because, you know, they thought of it as a hopeless cause, that there's no way that they're going to be able to get this or accomplish a mission. So they didn't want to involve them because he knew that they would say yes.
Well, right. And then, you know, and I understand they don't want to bring everyone back from TNG in the same season, because then that's just, you know, then you're just bringing back the nostalgia and overloading it with the old series.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and jump into this episode.
You can do it all night long!
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it!
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it!
I'm gonna go do it!
So, Steve, what do we have in store for this episode?
Today, we're going over Season 1, Episode 5 of Star Trek Picard, entitled Stardust City Rag.
The villain, did you notice that she kind of looks like Deanna Troi? Like a younger Deanna Troi, almost like her daughter?
Yes. I did notice that, and I wonder if there's any relation, because it's just, it's a scary, scary resemblance. And
yeah, it is. They have the same nose, same hair, same, like, bone structure. I'm like, it's kind of weird. And then they kind of wear that same, like, tight outfit, so I don't, like, Deanna always wore, like, tight outfits whenever she was in the show.
Yeah, I don't understand what this outfit is. I mean, her shoulder pads look like wicker.
A little bit.
They look like wicker shoulder pads with a semi see-through outfit. I mean, not that I'm complaining.
Yeah, well, I am. What's the point of that? Just make it full the way see-through.
I know. If it's partially see-through, why wear anything at all? She might as well just have those wicker shoulder pads on.
Yeah, might as well.
Maybe she's afraid she'll look too much like a basket if she does.
Well, I think that, you know, you still have to wear clothes in some sense.
Not at Beta Zed waitings.
That's true.
So,
I don't think they say that she's a Beta Zed.
No, I don't think so, but
she does really look like Deanna Troi. Like, I'm not going to lie, though.
Yeah,
she's got to
really
be like her daughter. I'm gonna actually look up the cast and see if she is related to her.
Yeah, look it up. I'll give a quick rundown of the opening scenes before the introduction hits. Start off with another flashback, 13 years on a planet where the lady who we're saying looks like Deanna Troi, her name is Bajazel. We'll just call her Jay.
Why can't anybody just have simple names in the Star Trek series?
I don't know. It's getting too complicated.
Like, I get it. You're trying to make it like it seem like they're aliens, so they're gonna have alien names. But we need to at least be able to know their names or pronounce their names.
Like, I know we need a Bob.
It's Bajazzle. That's her name, Bajazzle, and she is played by Nakar Zadegan, which I don't think she actually has any relations to Marina Citrus, who plays Deanna Troi.
Just a strange coincidence.
I guess so.
But back to these opening scenes. You see probably some of the most graphic imagery in Star Trek in this opening scene, where the Bajazzle, or Jay, as I'll call her, is tearing apart an ex-Borg.
Yeah.
And you graphically see her remove her or his eye and then cut the cord.
Well, the significance of this is it's not just any Borg. It's Ichab from Star Trek Voyager. So all those episodes that I told you, hey, watch, they might have relevance. Here's the relevance.
Well, I haven't caught those episodes of Voyager yet.
Yeah, well, okay. So Ichab, so let me give you a little bit of background then. So Ichab was another Borg. He was de-assimilated? Unassimilated? He was taken from the Borg just like Seven of Nine was, but as a child. He was like 13, 14 years old. And he wasn't the only one. There was four or five of them that they rescued. They rescued a few children from the Borg. And Seven had already been de-assimilated? We're just going to go with unassimilated. Seven had already been unassimilated and kind of raised these kids in a sense, because she shared her experience of how she adapted from going from the Borg to being an individual again. So she almost raised these kids, in essence. She essentially raised these kids. She was basically their mother. So to see Ichab, you know, go through this, and that's the same actor that played Ichab too. So it was kind of tough to see that, you know, because you feel bad because you saw him grow up over several seasons in Voyager. So it was kind of sad to see that.
Yeah, and I'll give kudos to the writers here, because you do get that sense, even with, you know, me who hasn't seen those episodes of Voyager, you felt it a little bit. You understand that even at the first of the episode, you see she really cares for him. She calls him, I think, my child. Yeah. And then later in the episode, when she's talking to Picard, you kind of get a rundown. She was describing him as the closest thing to a kin that she has.
Oh,
closest,
yeah.
Thing to a son or a descendant. So, I mean, you kind of get that information without having to watch those episodes. So if you haven't seen Voyager, you're not missing a lot. So maybe there's a little more of an emotional connection when he's dying, but you get all the backstory without having to watch all of Voyager.
Right.
Just in a couple sentences.
Well, remind me that I want to bring up another point as we get further into the episode, because I don't want to skip ahead of in front of, you know, most of the episode. I want to actually kind of roll through the episode a bit. But remind me to bring back up a question that I had about it later.
What question?
About Ichab and Seven. Just say question about Ichab and Seven, and I'll remember. I'll just write it down now that I think about it.
Okay, write it down.
Yes, but after that, we kind of get into... Let's move on kind of from that scene to the next one, to where the doctor is watching old film of Bruce Maddox. And apparently, I think this is when they're showing that they were together. They were a couple. They dated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't. And it was interesting watching this, because he replicates all the ingredients to make chocolate chip cookies instead of just using the replicator. I mean...
Yeah, what's the point of replicating the ingredients and then baking it when you could just replicate the cookies if you're going to replicate something?
I mean, I guess, according to Maddox, that they taste better if you replicate the ingredients and bake them yourself versus just pulling them out of the replicator.
I imagine they would taste worse, because he's not a good cook. He probably wouldn't be a good cook.
I know, because you would have to, you know, or maybe he's done it enough to where he's got it to where it does taste better than the replicator. He has the right amount of flour, the right amount of egg, bakes it at the right temperature. Maybe he bakes it a little longer or a little, you know, not as long to get him how he wants it.
Yeah, I guess so. Who directed this one? This was another Jonathan?
Yeah, this was another Jonathan Frakes episode.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because in his other episodes that he directed in The Next Generation, he had himself as a cook. And he liked to say that he was a pretty decent cook, when in reality, when once everybody tasted his food, he actually wasn't that good of a cook. So everybody thinks they're a good cook, but in reality, they're probably not that good of a cook. Yeah, especially when you're used to replicating shit. Well, I don't claim to be a good cook. I mean, I can cook hot dogs well.
Oh, yeah.
And you notice I use well and not great.
Yeah, you're good at cooking wieners and eating wieners.
Oh my gosh. Who would you say is the better? Who would you say is the better cook? You or your girlfriend?
Me.
Now, would she make that same claim?
Depends on what's being made.
If you were to holler at her and say, "Hey, who's the better cook? You or me?" What would she say?
No, I'm not starting that now. Because then after the recording, I'll have to get into this debate with her about it, and I'm not doing that.
That's fair. Don't start an argument. She'll start the argument later.
I don't know. By the time we're done recording, I'm going to want to go to bed.
That's fair. Okay, back to the episode.
Yeah, this is, they're arriving to Free Cloud City.
Well, hang on. Let's get back to the doctor watching the recordings. This is the first time that we see that that she and Professor Maddox were a couple? Because I don't remember in previous episodes deliberately saying that they were a couple, that they were together in any sense. I think they might have had a picture together, but that doesn't necessarily mean they were a couple. I mean, we knew they worked together.
Yeah, I think in previous episodes it kind of hints at that they knew each other, but I don't think you had any idea that they were a full-blown couple.
Right. So that shows an ulterior motive of why she's coming on, that, hey, maybe she's coming back because, you know, she was boinking this guy and she wants to see him again. That's why she's coming back. A little bit more motivation to come back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she wants to keep boinking him.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out later in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you were saying next scene.
Oh, I was just I was going to bring up the ads that kind of as the crew is approaching Free Cloud, and I don't remember what the name of the city is.
I do.
Stardust City.
Damn.
I did too. It's just a matter of finding my notes.
I know. So, I actually wrote down the names this time because I keep messing up the names so much.
You have been awful with that.
Yes. And then the worst part is I only wrote down one name, and that was Egypt, and I already knew that name.
Well, what's the point of that then?
Well, he was the only new character that was really relevant for a new name.
Well, you have that Bejazel.
Yeah, but I missed it.
Bejizzle. There you go. This is what happens when you start drinking a little bit while recording this.
You know what? I kind of like that. Let's just go with Bejizzle.
Bejizzle. Bejizzle sounds like a Snoop Dogg song. Bejizzle, my fizzle.
Yeah, I know, right?
But
be his new name,
anyways. Yeah, but anyways, as they're approaching the city, they get. I guess best way to describe it would be pop up ads.
Yeah, they do.
They're like pop up hologram ads. Like they've been on the wrong porn sites now. You know,
and
they have a nasty virus.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's kind of cool how you can just kind of, like, interact with them, though.
Yeah, it is cool. And I like the one that was messing with Dr. Girardi because it kind of reminded me of Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
A little bit. It kind of reminded me a little bit more of Real Steel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what
I
kind of
can see
like
that now. It's been a while since I've seen that movie, but so
I actually like Rock'em that movie. I don't know why. It's not that great of a movie, but I kind of like it.
Yeah. I don't know. Probably because I haven't seen it in a while, the first thing I thought of was Rock'em Sock'em.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, so they try to infiltrate the planet as gangsters because they found out that Bruce Maddox was being sold to the Tashiar.
Yeah.
So they were trying to propose an alternative form of payment because there's no way they're going to outbid the Tashiar. So they're going to do a trade for 7 of 9 for Bruce Maddox. And because 7 has all these Borg parts and they love disassembling Borg parts, that's what they were going to do to try to make the trade.
Yeah, and this was interesting with what they did because the executive producers and writers integrated what was happening down on the planet and the plan that they were coming up with. So you kind of get a cutscene of what's happening in the club and then a cutscene of explaining what's going to happen and back and forth. And I thought that was pretty interesting way of going about it. I don't know if it's the way I would have gone, but it does end up working.
Yeah, it does. I mean, especially once, so they introduce kind of, I guess it's like what, one of her lieutenants, Bajizzle, or what is that what we're calling her? Bajizzle?
Yeah.
So Bajizzle's lieutenant, who is a Beta Inari, which is almost like a lizard species with super heightened sense of smell to the point to where they can tell if you're lying. They can tell the last person you've had sex with. They can tell the last meal you ate just from their sense of smell.
Yes, and I liked Rio's response to that, and he said, did you catch what he said?
No, I didn't.
Oh, he was like, he could tell if the last two were the same.
Beta Inari can smell when you're not telling the truth.
Seriously?
Also what you had for dinner, and the last person you had sex with.
If they're not the same thing.
Because that's not disturbing.
Okay, then.
You didn't catch that. Oh,
no,
my gosh.
I didn't. I don't know how you would smell that, though. Because you don't actually eat anything. Well, then again, I guess they can't smell the last person you had sex with, so I guess it's one and the same.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a little fishy, you never know.
Yeah, but don't you think that the costumes and everything was a little bit flamboyant? Like, he dresses up as a pimp, Picard's a pirate.
It was like they were going to this awful Halloween party.
I know. And the worst part is Picard plays the character so well.
I know his French accent was.
Well, I mean, for him, it's just his normal voice. You know, he's French, or he's supposed to be French.
Well, yeah, Jean-Luc is French, but Patrick Stewart is British. English. And I don't know. I feel like Jean-Luc would have just gone with a basic French accent instead of trying to sound all sinister.
Well, I mean, they enjoy their. It's everything's so flamboyant. I think he was just trying to fit the role of flamboyancy.
I guess
that's even a word.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But I don't know. It was weird. And I thought when we discussed the last episode, this is probably the scene that stuck out to me was Picard doing this very odd French accent, and that's the only thing I remembered about the episode.
Really? That's the one thing you remember from the episode?
Yeah, because I remember watching it the first time, and I was like, really? This is happening? And I had to pinch myself, because it just didn't... It seemed out of place for the rest of the series.
I don't know. I kind of liked Elnor in this episode, because he was, like, enjoying everything. He was enjoying the show, but it was like, oh, I don't get to do anything. I don't get any, like, flamboyant characters. I don't get to lie. I just get a change of outfit and just stand there and look pretty. Like, really? Like, I don't get to do anything?
Yeah, you could tell he really wanted to get into it and really wanted to do something more than they were willing to give him.
Yeah, and you could tell that he's not very good at the line, because he just does not understand anything that's going on right now.
Oh, no. No, and I liked... I watched this episode on closed captioning, and when Picard is doing his voice, closed captioning describes it as a cartoonish French accent. I was like, that's spot on. That's what it feels like. I feel like you could take that voice and put it over Pepe Le Pew and just go with it. That's what it felt like. And for those of you who are not young not old enough to know what Pepe Le Pew is, it was an old cartoon where it was this French accent speaking skunk.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't even know for sure if I'm old enough. Like, I remember it, but like vaguely. Like, I would be like just barely old enough.
No, I don't think I'm old enough to know what it is, but it's like there was enough reruns on with Tom and Jerry to where I have an idea of.
Well, I remember from Space Jam.
Oh yeah, he was in Space Jam.
Yeah, that's where I remember it from.
Well, I remember catching the old reruns on, I think, Cartoon Network or wherever Tom and Jerry was running back 20 years ago.
See, one of my favorite lines is from the TV show Psych, where it was like, oh man, I feel like Pepe Le Pew when he found out what Le Pew meant in the dictionary. Or he looked up Le Pew in the dictionary. Like, Le Pew?
Yeah.
No. And it's like, that's one of my favorite lines in any show.
That's what Picard's accent reminded me of, was Pepe Le Pew. And I know it's a little different. And I even went and YouTubed some Pepe Le Pew clips. And it's a totally different accent, but I could see his voice being Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah. Almost like a cartoon like French bad guy or something like that.
Yeah,
fits the role pretty well.
And I'm pretty sure that's where they were going for French bad guy.
Yeah, but I think it's funny how the closed captioning has it as like cartoon, like they're actually like describing like what's a cartoon French bad guy sound differently than a regular French bad guy?
I don't know.
Is it that over exaggeration? Like,
yeah, it must have been for closed captioning to pick it up that way because it wasn't just French accent; it was cartoonish French accent.
So let's kind of move on a little bit. Why was the doctor freaking out so much that she had to deal with the transporter? Like, I get it that, you know, you're nervous of having to transport everybody out, that, you know, you're the one who's responsible for everybody's lives. If shit hits the fan. But come on, you're the leading expert in cybernetics in the on the planet Earth. And you can't figure out how to work a damn transporter?
Yeah, and it's obvious throughout this episode and throughout this series that she is not comfortable being off of Earth.
Well, are we sure that it's because it kind of goes into it later in the episode, but are we sure that it's because she's off of Earth or it's because of what's going to happen later in the episode and that she just does not want to have to deal with what's going on?
Little column A, little column B.
I don't know. I think it's column A and a lot more column B because she damn near has a panic attack. The EMH has to come out saying, "Hey, we need to get you a sedative because you're freaking out too much."
Yeah, and I think the way it comes off before you get more information later in the episode is she's just not comfortable being in space.
Right.
So at this point in time when we're watching it, yeah, she's not comfortable being in space, or at least that's how they're portraying it. And then you discover that there's more to it. As you continue to peel back the onion, you kind of see more of what's happening.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the next scene, and we'll kind of come back to that a little bit more once we get around to how that develops. But in the next scene, you see Ralphie.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm starting to figure out their names. All right. So you see Ralphie talking to her son.
Yeah. So, and does he look familiar at all to you?
Vaguely. I don't know where, though.
Well, I don't know if you know him from a show. I looked up his IMDb. He doesn't have a lot of credits to his name yet. But that is Cuba Gooding Jr.'s son. And he does, now that I tell you that, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, the guy from, the only thing that pops in my mind right now is from the movie Radio.
Radio. No, I don't.
Okay, he's also in Pearl Harbor.
I remember Pearl Harbor.
His dad is in Pearl Harbor. He's the chef.
Oh, okay. Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
that mans the anti-aircraft gun, and he's also a boxer.
Okay, yeah. I remember who you're talking about. He's been in a lot of movies.
Yes. I'm surprised when I said his name, you didn't know who he was.
I'm not good with names. I mean, I think from listening to all these or doing all these shows, I think we were able to figure out that I'm not very good with names.
Yeah, you're going to have to get better at that because I can see people tweeting towards you or shooting emails being like, come on, you're on a podcast. At least get the names right, motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. I'm working on that. I think I'm doing better. I'm starting to get their names.
We're only 5 episodes in.
Yeah, that's true.
We're halfway through the season.
Yeah, and I'm getting their names down. So I should have it all the way down by the end of the series. I mean, granted, I've only seen these like once before rewatching these. And these are pretty tough names. They never want to give simple names. Like, you got Dr. Angie Strati, Soji, Dosh, the twin sisters, Ralphie. Rios isn't too bad. Let's see, Narek, Elnor, Narissa, the lieutenant. Let's see, who else?
Rizzo.
Is it Rizzo?
Yes, it's Rizzo. All right, do better, fail.
Oh, that's why. Oh, no. Because Narissa was another character she played in the episode. She played like a... she was pretending to be somebody else whose name was Narissa, that's why. So they had her name split, like Narissa and Lieutenant... No, that's her first name. Her first name's Narissa, that's why. Narissa Rizzo.
Yes.
So I'm looking... That's why, because I wrote it down from IMDb, and that's why.
Well, let's get back to the scene with Rafi. So you find out... here that she has a strange relationship with her boy.
I don't know if it's strange. He hates her.
It's strange, like...
Well, not really. I mean, there's a lot of kids who hate their parents and felt like they've abandoned them. Well, I guess for today, but I guess in the Star Trek universe, it's weird.
Well, I'm using estranged, like you have an estranged husband, someone, you know.
Oh, estranged. You were just saying, it sounded like you were saying strange.
No.
Like Doctor Strange.
Here, let me try this again. Estranged.
That's better.
Okay.
Be sure to really emphasize the every time.
I forgot I gotta talk slowly to you over there because you're not quite understanding the words that are coming out of my mouth.
No. I'm not very edumacated.
Yeah, obviously, that college has gotten you nowhere.
Yeah, well, I could have told you that.
but yeah, you find out she has a strange relationship with her son, then, you know, there's bad blood there and a lot of tension. And, you know, he really despises her because of the involvement she took in trying to uncover the conspiracy with the Romulans and the Synths.
Right. She prioritized the conspiracy over, you know, raising her kid and being with her husband. So, and you can't blame him for being angry, but I mean, come on, you're really going to hold a grudge that bad with, you know, when you're about to be with your wife, you're about to have a child, you're really going to be that pissy about it?
I mean, it hits some people differently than others, I imagine, so.
Yeah. Well, I guess granted, it might have been a long time since they've seen each other.
Could have been.
They didn't really explain that.
No, but you could tell she was definitely expecting the conversation to go a slightly different way. Maybe him being welcoming because she had no intention on going back. And, you know, she obviously intended on staying at Free Cloud.
Right. She wanted to be a mother.
Yeah.
She wanted to be his mother again. Let's kind of move on because, I mean, you kind of know what happened. He does not accept her. He is not happy with it. And she goes back to the ship not expecting her back.
No, because they call her stowaway.
Yeah.
And this is several scenes later, probably a good
2 or 3
10
scenes.
Or 15 minutes. It's after they get situated with the club and yeah. With Bejizzle.
Back to the Bejizzle scene.
Yeah, and you find out that 709 has been leaving out some important information. She went down there and gave the perception that she was going to be useful, but she really had her own agenda.
Yeah. Which actually brings me back to what I was talking about earlier in the episode. The reason why she hates her so much and, you know, kind of portrays Picard with her own agenda is because she was responsible for Ichab's death. She trusted, or 709 trusted Bejizzle, thinking that they were going to help. She mentioned Ichab, and she took advantage of that, took Ichab, and was responsible for his death. She blamed her for the death of her child.
Yeah, and you kind of get the perception that Bejizzle gets a hard-on for tearing Borg's apart.
Well, yeah, it's because it's valuable. Borg yeah. Parts are very valuable. That's why she does it. And you even...
But it seems like she enjoys it a little more than just the money. It's like, you know, there's... It's like a thrill.
It might be for her.
Yeah, like it's not. It's also beneficial monetarily wise, which I want to get into that later, but it seems like she enjoys it a little more than just in it for the money.
Well, I think she does run a criminal organization, so it makes sense that she'd be into it, or she'd be into some weird violent stuff. But yeah, Borg parts are very valuable. If you go back to Star Trek Voyager, the Ferengi even tried to kill everybody on Star Trek on the ship Voyager to try and get 709 back to get her nanoprobes. And they were estimating her entire net value to be worth almost a couple hundred million bricks of gold pressed latinum, which at the, you know, that's a lot in the Star Trek universe.
Yeah.
So.
I say, yeah, not knowing that, just agreeing.
Yeah, the economics are really weird in the Star Trek. They try to claim that there's no money.
Yeah, there's obviously cultures like the Ferengi who, you know, their whole drive on a daily basis is making profit. And, you know, it seems like Earth doesn't really have any monetary
really
denominations.
Yeah.
But somehow Picard has to pay Rios for this whole mission.
Yeah. And then, you know, Rios was like, okay, you're going to get charged double for, you know, when they actually figure out where Soji is in Romulan space. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to charge you double for going to Romulan space.
Yeah. So obviously there's some sort of monetary system going on in the galaxy. It doesn't seem like Earth has it, but
everybody.
I I think they need to go into that and clear it up a little more, because it's too damn confusing.
But anyway, back to the question that I wanted to ask you. Do you think 7 of 9 was justified in her response with Bajizzle?
I mean,
like Picard, in the scene, he talks her out of it. He's saying, you know, you still have some semblance of humanity. You don't have to do this. Come with us. You know, typical Picard nobility that, you know, you saw a lot in The Next Generation. And she plays along like she does. And then she goes back to the planet and vaporizes Bajizzle.
Yeah. And I think if you talk to any parent, they will tell you, yeah, she's justified. If someone kills their kid or next of kin, I think any parent is going to want revenge. And I think it's...
So who do you think was right? Do you think 7 of 9 was right or Picard?
Morally speaking, Picard is right. Revenge is not the way to go. You know, they say those who seek revenge shall dig 2 graves.
Yeah, one for the big bitch and one for the little bitch.
Yeah. But, yeah.
For those of you who don't get that reference, I'm sorry. You have no life.
Or do you have no life since you do know that reference?
I mean, everybody should know that reference.
But I want to get back to this, because I don't know if... It doesn't seem like Picard actually talks her down. I think she plays into his hand, but I think her and Rios are kind of in on something, knowing that she's going to go back down and kind of wipe out the club and take out Bajizzle.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Here's my evidence to that. Because when they beam back to the ship... Rios sticks the pattern enhancer onto the teleporter or the transporter pad or the console, and then she goes to the console, makes some adjustments, and then takes the pattern enhancer right before she beams down back into the club.
Yeah.
So I think Rios and Seven had a side plan that Picard was unaware of.
Yeah, but I mean, Rios even said, like, your intention's revenge, and I get it. Just, like, don't fuck with me. Like, don't ruin, like, what we're trying to do. Because you're going to be putting a bounty on our heads by doing that.
Yeah.
But he ends up helping her anyways. And I hate to say it, from my perspective, I think she was completely justified. I was fucking yelling, kill that motherfucker. You know, she killed Icho. You know, because I watched Star Trek Voyager. I've seen it. I watched Icho grow up and the character develop, you know, with 7 of 9, and then he joins the Federation. Like, he was a Starfleet officer.
Yeah, I saw he was a lieutenant.
Yeah, and then they rip out his parts. They get, you know, no pain medication. They just rip out his eye, sever his limbs. I mean, I'm like, just kill the motherfucker. Like, she deserves it. I think Bajizzle got a easy death, in my opinion.
Going through the scenes that happened before all of it, it seems like they imply that there was more to their relationship between 6 of 9 and Bajizzle.
Well, yeah, they talked about how they were working together. Six of 9 trusted Bajizzle, like they were friends. And then she made the mistake of mentioning Icheb and how, you know, their relationship. And betrayed that trust. That's why she hates her so much. That one, she betrayed her trust. And two, she killed basically her son.
So you took it as just more than like close friends? Or did you take... Because I took it as in they had some sort of romantic relationship. And I mean, it's vague. It's open to interpretation. So, you know, right. I'm sure different people interpret that scene and that dialogue differently. And I'm just saying, I interpreted it romantic relationship where you are...
I don't know, because like in Voyager, she was down, she was DTF with the commander, who was a man. So that's why I'm like, I don't know if there was like a relationship there. That's why I was kind of assuming more like they were good friends, they were really close, they were working together, and then she betrayed him and killed the son.
Well, then you think, I mean, first of all, she could be DTF with the commander and then be DTF with Bajizzle. No one says you can't, you know, bat from both sides or play for both teams.
Well, okay, let me rephrase. I guess DTF is not the right word. They were like...
Well, that's 3 words.
Okay, well, you know what I mean.
It was three letters into an acronym.
It was one acronym. So, okay, the point that I was trying to make was, so in Voyager, how they did it was they went, so in the season finale of Voyager, spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen it. So
there were seven seasons, so you got to specify.
Okay, the series finale. The last two-part episode. So how they did that was they eventually get back to Earth 24 years after they originally got to the Delta Quadrant. And then Janeway was not happy because she lost a lot of her crew. She lost 7 of 9. She lost, I think 7 of 9 died after the commander died, Commander Chakotay, and they were married in that timeline. They got married. She was husband and wife, and she was starting to date, Chakotay. They were really getting close, and you were starting to see that development of like, okay, they're projecting that they're going to get married in that timeline. And then, so it doesn't make sense to me, like, okay, you had that happening in that timeline, and then all of a sudden now she's into chicks? Like,
well, she could have been into the both either way. I mean, it's not...
Well, I mean, if you're going to do that, at least give like some kind of explanation of like, well, what happened with Chakotay? And I hate to say it, they kind of did the same thing with Worf and Deanna Troi in The Next Generation.
Oh my God, I was going to bring that up because, at the end of season 7, Troi and Worf have a fling going on. And I was like, where did this happen? Because I know Troi and Riker get married in Nemesis.
Well, yeah,
and
they do.
After 7, I don't know if anything... maybe happened in Deep Space Nine because I'm only halfway through the first season.
Of Deep Space Nine?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I want to make one more comment before we get to that loose end. I just want to throw out, just because something happened with 709's commander doesn't mean, she could be, there's nothing wrong with being bi. She could have been bi the whole time for all we know.
I mean, she could have, but.
I mean, I know what you're saying is you just want some sort of explanation.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna make, there's got to be some kind of explanation. That's one of the things that people, Star Trek fans, are not happy about with the new shows that have been coming out. That it doesn't make sense with the original timeline, and that's why Star Trek fans, they love the Star Trek saga. They love Voyager, they love Deep Space Nine, they love Next Generation, they love the original series, even Enterprise. Wasn't as loved, but it still was pretty loved because it connected in a way that made sense. It was a continuous storyline that made sense. They understand what was going on. Every now and then they made a mistake or two, but it really made sense. And these don't really make as much sense or align with the original storyline.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's that they don't make sense or I don't think we're getting enough pieces of the puzzle to see the connection between the OG storyline and this.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're going to make that leap from, okay, it's been 15, 20 years since Voyager and shit happened with Chakotay and didn't end well, and maybe she just swore off all men and started dating women, then, okay, that would make sense. At least you have that connection there. But don't set up like a mystery like, oh, maybe she's into girls now. Like,
yeah, but you never know. Like I said, it wasn't clear. Like I said, I'm interpreting it one way and you're interpreting it another way, but there's nothing that says either way is wrong.
Yeah, I know, right? All right, well, we're starting to run low on time, so let's get to this last scene. It's a very important scene, and it kind of, backtracks to what we were talking about earlier, to why
Dr. Girardi's ulterior motive.
Yes. So, we were talking about earlier how she was freaking out so much. Why was she, overdoing it, like, on dealing with the transporter? Why was she having these panic attacks? And it just seemed like, okay, maybe it's because she just doesn't like not being on Earth. She doesn't like being on ships. But we find out that she has an ulterior motive. And it's last scene.
Yeah, in the scene, the writers are very good on not giving us more information than we need, because they want to leave the suspense. So you find out that she was shown something, or she knows more than what she's leading on, about the synths and about Soji. which she ends up, which I think making a rash decision on tying up the loose end and deactivating whatever nanos were healing Dr. Maddox and essentially killing him.
Right. And then it's even more impactful because you saw earlier how they were together. They were a couple. She just killed her former lover and boyfriend. I don't know about husband, but like, that's not an easy thing to do. And she, so the question to beg is, why did she do it? And she kind of hinted a little bit on, only if you knew what I know, only if you've seen what I've seen.
Yeah, something of that nature. It's definitely enough to tell us she knows more than what she's leaning on, and she has some sort of insight of what's to come and why it's important that they find the sins or not find the sins.
But it's definitely an important scene that hopefully, though, they're definitely going to bring it up again, if not in the next episode later in the series. Like, they're definitely going to be coming back to it.
I think it's in episode 9 where they bring it up again. It's sometime before the season ends. They bring it up again, and
I don't know if they go all the way.
Don't quote me on the.
I don't know if it's episode 9 that they bring it up again. I think it'd be closer to like 7 or 8.
I don't know, because
I
won't go into that.
Yeah, let's just watch it.
They
and
do.
We'll find out.
Yeah, they bring it up again somewhere. We know that.
Yes. Yes, we do. All right. So that was pretty much the end of the episode.
How did you like this episode compared to... How did you like it overall, and how did you like it compared to the rest of the episodes that we've seen so far?
Well, overall, I actually liked the episode. I know I've had a lot of negatives on the episode, but I actually did like this episode. Because there was a bit more humor into it. There was, you know, like, I get it. The flamboyancy, the cartoon French bad guy voice, you know, that Picard did was, you know, a lot pretty flamboyant, but it was entertaining. It was kind of funny. It was funny to see, you know, Picard in that role. You know, you got to appreciate how good of an actor Patrick Stewart is. You know, Elnor was comic relief. Like, he's supposed to be the badass warrior, but he has no idea what the hell's going on. He's like a little kid where he doesn't quite understand what's going on, and it's funny. And, you know, yeah. You get a lot
and
of
he just wants to fit in.
Yeah. And then you get a lot of development in the story, like with 7 of 9, you know, it's nice seeing 7 of 9 in that role again, because, you know, she is a pretty good actress too, Jeri Ryan. So it's good to see her back, still gorgeous, even at the age of like 50 something. And then you get that ending to where it's like, what the fuck? Like, they were boinking and now she's killing him. Like, she does not seem like the type to do that. Granted, any woman could probably be secretly crazy and end up killing her boyfriend, but she just didn't seem like the type. She seemed like such a nice person.
Sweet, genuine, yeah, down to heart person.
And then she's killing her ex-boyfriend. So, I mean, overall, I thought the episode was pretty good. Even though I had a lot of criticisms in this episode, I still thought this was a pretty good episode, and I thought it was one of the better ones so far. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree 100%. The only thing from the first time I watched it, because this is only the second time I've seen this episode, so the only thing that stuck with me was the bad, not even the bad, but the ridiculous French accent that Picard throws out there in the middle of the episode.
Le Pew? No.
Yeah, Pepe Le Pew, yeah. And so that's the only accent. Oh, that's not French. Okay, banding that.
yeah, keep working so on your French accent.
That's the only thing that stuck with me after the first viewing. And upon second viewing, it is a much better episode. You do get a lot of backstory. You do get a lot of character development. You get a lot of... you do get some action in the middle and throughout the episode. So it was a lot. They did a good job building Dr. Girardi, building Rafi, building all the characters, and I think overall I agree it was one of the better episodes of the series so far.
Yeah, it was pretty good, and credit to Jonathan Franks. You know, I mean, the guy is a pretty good director. Like, he did a pretty good job of these two episodes directing.
Yep, I agree 100%.
So, all right, now my favorite part.
Shall we punch it?
Punch it, we can beat him.
Punch it,
kill it.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it, Huxley.
Punch it. Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
What What do we have to look forward to for next week's episode?
So next week's episode is episode 6, The Impossible Box. And the brief description that CBS All Access gives is, Picard and the crew track Soji to the Borg cube in Romulan space, resurfacing haunting memories for Picard. Meanwhile, Narek believes that he finally found a way to safely... Oh, it's not sexually exploit Soji and her information? No, it's safely. But it could be safely sex exploit. I don't know.
Well, yeah, the, I think the important thing, the important thing to note is that this next episode is actually rated TV-14. It's not rated TVMA.
Oh, you're right. It just has some violence in it.
Yeah, so that's an important note, or just something interesting, I guess. And that's something I guess we didn't really talk about. They finally figured out where Soji was. We skipped over that.
We did skip over it. We went straight to his death, and we skipped over the brief conversation Maddox and Picard had that that Soji, he sent Dodge to Earth and Soji to the artifact to find the truth about the synth ban.
So that's why Mattis sent them.
Yeah, that you get that information right before Girardi kills him.
But how are they going to figure it out if they had no idea that they had no idea that's why they were there? They have no idea that they're even synths. They think that they're just normal people who are doing their job, living their lives.
There's probably some hidden programming that if some detail were to come up or some information were to come up, it would activate a part of their programming that would let them know.
Well, I mean, that would, you know, I just don't know how that would play out. Like, oh, they get activated and then they freak out again that they're not human and that they're a synth, and, you know, like the first one did. Who was it? Dosh? But no, it's not Dosh.
Yes, Dosh.
Oh, it is Dosh. Okay, see, I am getting the names right. So Dosh, you know, like Dosh did. Dosh freaked out when she found out that she's not a synth, or she's not human, and she's a synth. I mean, did they not expect that reaction again? Like once they did find out the information, and then what were they supposed to do after that? Were they going to go back to Bruce and, you know, report on the information?
I'm not sure what the details was. He sent them out to find the truth, but there was no information about what would happen when they found the truth or if they found the truth. So
right,
that's a mystery for now.
Yep. Hopefully that's something else to keep an eye out for in these later episodes. See if there's any new information that comes to light for that. Maybe more explanation.
Yeah. But I think that's I think that does it for this episode.
Yes, I believe you are correct.
Thank you everyone for listening to this week's episode of Deep Space High. Please join us next time as we continue the conversation on Star Trek Picard.
And don't forget to keep the conversation going on Twitter with hashtag Tacos and Trek and hashtag Deep Space High.
And let us know how we're doing by reviewing Deep Space High. And if you love what you're hearing, please feel free to subscribe and share. I'm Master Jedi Steven.
And I'm Chris. And until next time, live long and prosper.